Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Hello and welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. Today on the show, I'm going to be speaking with George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast AM Radio and also Gaia TV's Beyond Belief. George Norrie is here, unplugged, and he's going to be sharing some backstage secrets, his singing, and the mysteries that keep him up at night. And I actually have a second guest today. I'm excited about this, senior producer Tom Danheiser. We're going to be going behind the mic with Tommy D, the man who powers Coast to Coast AM, with stories, a producer's lowdown, and maybe some surprises you didn't know about. Dare to Dream podcast has won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Radio and Podcast Show, Welp Magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and its high ranking on Apple Podcasts. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane Here and Access Consciousness. I thank them for their support over the many years. They do beautiful energy work out into the world. So if you'd like to take one of their classes or become a facilitator, go to Dr. Dane Here, HEER.com. Folks, have you wondered what your galactic ancestry is? You can unlock your cosmic potential with a free starseed report and a video exploring various types of starseed. It's very captivating information. And here you can uncover finally your galactic origins, and it's very detailed. So don't miss this opportunity to connect with your star lineage. Go to Debbie Dashinger. com/starseed. That's DEBBIDACHINGER.com/starseed. Well, up first, my guest, George Norrie, host of the nationally syndicated Coast to Coast AM, captivates millions of listeners with discussions on the paranormal, time travel, alien abductions, and conspiracies. He's a seasoned broadcaster with an Emmy-winning news career. George Norrie took over Coast to Coast AM in 2003, following Art Bell's retirement. His passion for exploring the unexplained dates back to his youth and has driven his decades-long career in radio, television, and writing. George has authored multiple books. He hosts Beyond Belief on Gaia TV, and he appeared on Ancient Aliens and The Larry King Show. George Norrie, a Detroit native and U.S. Naval Reserve veteran, continues to this day to seek answers to the mysteries of our time. And with that, I welcome the amazing George Norrie to Dare to Dream. So great to have you here. Welcome.
Debbie, it's great to be here with you, and it's exciting to see your incredible book cover behind you, Dare to Dream. Mm. You look great back there.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to do this with you, to turn the tables. You've been so kind to have me on Coast to Coast as a guest, twice now on Gaia TV as a guest. And it's been beautiful being in your arena, seeing you do what you do. So thank you for coming on the show today. So many people are fascinated by you. And I want to start with the fact that at 13 years old, your mother gave you a book, and this started all this fascination with the unusual. So what was that book, George? What was the book, and what happened?
God love mom. She's going to be 96 in a few months, still going strong. She gave me a book called We Are Not Alone by Walter Sullivan, who at the time was the New York Times science writer. And it was about his theory of life out there in the universe, what was out there. And as a little kid, as you said, 13 years old, I'm digesting this book, going through it, going, wow, this is fantastic. I want to cover these things. I want to cover these stories. And I realized at that age, Debbie, that to be a broadcaster might be the only way to get the answers to these questions I had. Because if I just picked up the phone and said, "Hi, this is George Norrie from Detroit. Do you have some time to talk to me about this and that?" I don't think they would. But if you can pick up the phone and say, "Hi, this is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM," or whatever outlet I was at the time, they're more apt to listen to you. And so I decided at that very young age, it was another episode we can talk about in a moment that got me involved in this, that I wanted to go into broadcasting to uncover these stories. The other one was the Barney and Betty Hill story, the abduction case. Look magazine had that on the cover as the interrupted journey. And I was obsessed with that. So I combined all those together and decided that's what I want to do. Then, when I was 11, 2 years before that, I had an out-of-body experience. I never got sick from school. This was
One day I
stayed home. I had a fever. I was in bed, but I wake
up and I'm bouncing on the ceiling,
and looking
down
down.
at my body in the bed, and I'm going, "Wow, what is this? Is this a dream or what is this?" And at that moment, it slammed my astral body back into my physical body, and I woke up and I thought it was a dream, and then I realized there's something else. So I go into the library when I got better, stumble across a book called The Projections of the
Astral Body by Sylvan Muldoon and Heywood Carrington. And they had a
cover of an astral body floating above a physical body. And I said, "That's what happened to me." So that at 11, combined with the 13-year-old George
George Norrie, who looked at the We Are Not Alone book and the Look magazine article on Barney and Betty Hill,
got me into this business that I haven't stopped yet. That's amazing that you would have those kind of experiences. Did you ever have another out-of-body experience after the age of 11?
I've never had one since then. I have tried. I have thought I got close, but it really never has happened yet for me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've had so many experts on the program trying to convince me that I'm doing the right things, but I just can't seem to separate anymore.
Interesting. And maybe it was just meant to wake you up to the exact information for you to be a leader in this field, to have those conversations. I know, George, that you also, growing up in Detroit, you had two younger sisters, son of a Lebanese Egyptian father who worked at Ford Motor Company, and a Lebanese American mother, and you were raised Roman Catholic, which is super interesting that you got into all this. So your fascination for the paranormal, for ufology, starts as a child, and then you join this UFO organization as a teenager. Talk about that. And what precipitated you next going into ufology?
I somehow stumbled across an organization called NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. And it was headed up by a fellow military guy named Donald Kehoe. And it was about UFOs. And he had experts joining it, scientists, theologians, experts who believed in life out there as part of this organization. And I joined it at that very young age. I remember getting the mail. I got a little card, little admission card, George Norrie, member of NICAP. And I was so excited about it. But that helped me get into this field of information and investigating UFOs. And I just never stopped, Debbie. I never stopped.
I also recall watching you on Gaia TV, and you were interviewing somebody, and you told an absolutely beautiful story about an experience you had as a child with an angel, and it had to do with a fire. Will you share that story?
My mother was born in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Her father came from the Middle East and started a furniture company. In addition, it was called the Union Furniture Company in Fitchburg, very successful. But what he did was not only did he build a furniture store on the bottom level and the ground level, but he built this massive apartment complex on top of it, where he rented out maybe 10 apartments, the individuals in the Fitchburg, Massachusetts area. Well, he built for himself in the apartment complex a large apartment for his family. My mother had a couple brothers, a couple sisters. And so he built a two or three level apartment on top of the other apartments for them. And every summer we would go back to Fitchburg, Massachusetts. She'd see her parents and her family, and we'd stay there for the summer before we came back to Detroit for school. One night, I'm asleep on the second level. My parents were on the top level, the third level. And I'm awoken by a fire department guy who's got the mask on, and the place is starting to fill up with smoke. He wakes me up and said, "George, George, get everybody out of the apartment." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "There's a fire down in the furniture store. We need to get everybody out." So I ran upstairs, woke my parents up. They're panicking. They got ready to put their clothes on and they ran out the door. I ran out the door. There was a picture of me in the Fitchburg Sentinel newspaper running across Main Street in my pajamas and bare feet. But we got everybody out. The fire department took care of what they had to do down in the furniture store. My father, after everything was done, went up to the fire chief and he said, "I want to thank the firemen who woke up my son George." And he said, "Sir, we never
Got
made
to
it
that
that level. Nobody was
there with George. He said,
Yeah.
"Yes, somebody was. My son
Just told
told
me.
me that a fireman woke him up and got us out
Out
of
of
the
the apartment. Who is he? I want to thank him." He said, "Sir, we never got to that level. We stayed in the furniture store putting out the fire." Who was it? Who was that guy?
People have surmised it's an angel.
It may have
It's
been
my guardian angel.
me. I don't know.
Well, that's quite beautiful. I mean, clearly. You were meant to be here, meant to be doing what you're doing. I love the fact that something from an unseen realm, but making itself seen to you, appeared probably in a guise that you could accept as a child to wake you up, save you, save your family. That's quite a story. Was anything left of the furniture store in the apartment buildings?
It was just a smoke fire started by a disgruntled husband or boyfriend of my mother's sister.
Oy.
And he started it where the mattresses were in the furniture store. But they got it out, thank God. But to this
Today, I've always wondered, who was that fireman?
who
Who
was
was he?
yeah.
Because, like he just said, it was a little more acceptable to a young boy to see a fireman in a mask than an angel with wings, right?
Absolutely. Although you never know with children. Children are so open, but clearly for you, that was perfect and maybe alarming enough. Maybe there was also that element of needing to be alarmed enough to fully wake up in order to wake up your parents. So it worked. It worked. Fascinating. Little reference points throughout your childhood, knowing what you want, going after your passion, deciding broadcast is the venue for you. And then, of course, you have a career, and then this huge opportunity comes along where you are asked, "Will you please fill the shoes that are going to be left by Art Bell?" That's big time. How was that for you, that offer, that choice to take the opportunity? Was exciting, scary? Fascinating.
After a broadcast career, I got out of broadcasting and went into corporate public relations, and I was bored out of my mind. It's not a bad job, but I was bored. I got a job as a radio host in St. Louis, and I called myself the Nighthawk. And I wanted to resurrect my career, but it was difficult. Once you
Get out of the business for a while and try to get back in. It's not that easy. So I had this local talk show called The Nighthawk where I did interviews like Art did on Coast to Coast. Same people, same guests, same venue. All the plus the little local angle to St. Louis and things like that.
Well, the network had heard about it because we were running coast to coast after my local show. And they called me up one day and said, "Would you like to fill in for Art once in a while?" I thought about it for about 3 seconds and said, "Yeah, sure."
So they said, "We don't know what's going on with him, but he's starting to miss days. So what we'll do is we'll call you when we need you to fill in. We'll hook up with your station electronically, and you can do coast to coast." And I said, "Well, coast to coast starts at midnight in St. Louis. Just when I get off the air on my local show, I was 9 to midnight Monday through Friday. The coast to coast was midnight to 4 or 5 in the morning." And they They
said
said
that.
that'll work perfectly. So there were many times, Debbie, I would get a call while I was on the air doing my local Nighthawk show that I had an hour to prepare for Coast to Coast to fill in for Art that night, who had decided very late in the evening he wasn't going to do the show. So during commercial breaks, doing my local show, I would be preparing for Coast to Coast that night. My show ended at midnight. 12:06 is when Coast to Coast starts. I ran down the hallway to the other studio that was hooked up with the network, had all my Papers.
and did
Coast
Coast
to
to
Coast.
Coast. Now
The
the
engineer from Coast to Coast would say, "When you hear the theme song, if you don't hear Art's voice, you're on the air." I said, "What?"
They said, "No, if you don't hear it, if you don't hear Art's voice, I'm going to tell you when you're here, go. And you're on the air doing Coast to Coast. If, on the other hand, Art stops, we know he's there. You don't have to go on tonight. We'll still pay you." I said, "No, I don't want to get paid unless I do the show." That was very smart on my point, by the way. And so there would be some nights, Debbie, I'd run down the studio
To the studio, hear the dun 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 to the coast to coast theme, and there'd be no Art.
and the guy would say, you're on," and I would
Do
do
the full coast to coast show.
There were a couple nights I'd be in there.
And you'd hear from the high desert in the great American outdoors, it would be Art. That's
How it happened.
Wow, that's incredible and hilarious. I've never heard such a thing that, if he doesn't show, you're on.
You're on, baby. It's your program. Go for it.
Wow. So here you are now. Everybody knows you, coast to coast, radio career, your Gaia TV Beyond Belief show. Has there been, over all these years, all these phone calls, all these cameras, ever been somebody who sat in front of you or was on the phone who shared this mind-blowing experience, something more than anything previous in your career? Can you share what that mind-blowing story or experience was and why it was so beyond for you?
I could share some stories with you, Debbie, because they're all mind-blowing. They're all different. It's like you're a kid. You go up to your parents and say, which of us did you like the most?"
They can't pick. They liked all of us for different reasons. And the stories that come into Coast to Coast are the same. I had a police officer call me one night and said we had a call that there was a heart attack victim at the house. And we got there before the first responders. When we get to the door, and the little old man opens the door and says, "Please come in." And we go into the house, and on the floor is the body of the little old man. We roll him over. It's the guy who opened the door. We turn around, and that guy's not anywhere to be seen. The victim, who was dying, opened the door for us spiritually.
We got in to get the body out, and anyways, we saved the guy before he died. Then there was another guy, a truck driver, calling us, talking about how he was driving on a windy, mountainous road, curvy, with cliffs and everything else, and he was falling asleep. As he dozed off, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, probably listening to me, but as he dozed off, he woke up and realized he's going over the cliff in his truck.
Wow.
He then sees a hand on his steering wheel, not his two hands, but a third hand that pulled the truck back onto the road. He got his composure and he stopped the truck. There's nobody else in the cab. He was all by himself. Who did that? And there was another guy who called. He was out swimming in the ocean. His friends were on the shore. And he swam out a little too far. And he started going under. The current was pulling him under. And he said, "George, I was gone. I was drowning. I'm about 2 or 3 feet underwater in the ocean. And I see a hand on the top of the water break through the water and reach down to me. And I grabbed it and it pulls me up where I came out of the ocean and I'm breathing again and my friends are coming to get me." I turn around to thank that individual who came out to save me. There was nobody there. Those stories just happen time and time again.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful that there's that level of help when people need it. And I think their time is not up.
And the synchronicities, Debbie, were just unbelievable. One of my first interviews when I was a 21-year-old reporter in Detroit was ufologist Stanton Friedman.
Did you say Stanley Green?
Stanton Friedman.
Stanton Friedman.
I wanted to interview him. My news director wouldn't pay for the overtime. I did it on my own. Had a great interview. He was a great guy. My first real interview, one-on-one. Jump ahead years later. He's a guest on Coast to Coast. We talked about these stories and stuff like that. I made a live event in Columbus, Ohio. He's one of our studio guests, stage guest. I interview him. We wrap up the show. He goes back to Toronto, dies of a heart attack at the airport. The synchronicity here was he was my first radio interview. I was his last interviewer. You can't make this stuff up.
Powerful. That's
It's
really
amazing.
powerful. Wow. It's like you guys had a contract to
Gives
do
you
this.
chills.
Yeah, for sure. Amazing. Speaking of chills, by the way, I will say several years ago at Conscious Life Expo, there was a talent show. I don't think there was one this year, but there was a talent show. And I was in there. I just went in to talk to somebody before the dress rehearsal. And then I saw you on stage. And I turned to our mutual friend, Gina Salvetti, and I said, "George, what is he doing?" And she says, "Oh, he sings." And I hadn't known that. Of course, many people know that about you. I didn't know that. And you started to sing an Elvis Presley song, "Wise Men Say," right? And what a beautiful voice you had. I was looking at Gina like, ah, I had no idea of your many talents, that you are also a singer. So tell me about that. Have you been singing your whole life? And in what different factions did singing take form in your life?
Started singing when I would listen to the records that mom used to play in our house. And I would try to mimic the performer. And I learned these songs. It's old ones. We become dear friends with Pat Boone for, well, and by the way, or John Fogerty, Clare Waterloo, Credence, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, people like that. But I started singing at a very young age and kept developing it later on in music. Did a lot of live shows in high school where musicals, anything goes, and I did stuff like that.
But we do live shows now too, live stage shows. We've got three coming up this quarter. We're going to be in Oregon. We're going to be in the state of Washington. And we're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. And in addition to the live stage shows with special guests and things like that, I sing. Tommy goes out and finds a band, and we rehearse, and I do four songs. And the audience loves it. You know, all our events have been sold out, thank you. I can avoid it. But they love the singing, and I do too. It's fun and enjoyable.
What do you like most about doing these live events, these live shows?
The one-on-one relationship with our audience. Radio is great. And when I broadcast to one person. I broadcast to you, somebody else, not the 3 million people who are listening to me. But what I like about live stage shows is you actually can see them smile, see them frown, see their eyes glisten. You don't get that from the radio, but you get these from the live stage shows.
And you mentioned four songs. So what genre, and can you tell us what the songs are that you'll be performing?
Change them and mix them up depending on the city, but they run the gamut from Frank Sinatra to Engelbert Humperdinck's "Love Me With All Your Heart," the Elvis song you mentioned. We mix them all up, keep people going.
Mostly standards then.
Oh yeah, emotional
Beautiful.
songs.
Do you have backup singers?
No, but that's not a bad idea. You want to do it one day?
I would love. Love. Done. Sold.
You do the hoo-ah, hoo-ah in the background.
All the oohs and ahs and whatever harmony. You got it. That would be a blast. Absolute blast.
We could do that.
And so you said Tommy runs out. He gets a band. What kind of band? Are we talking like jazz band? Are we talking about a studio band? Are we talking about a big band?
It's a combination of 3 to 5 people, little keyboard, guitars, things like that. Well, I keep telling them I want violinists in the background, but we'll see if he does
Oh,
that one day.
that would be beautiful. Is there a moment from one of your live concerts, because you've done them before, where something really stands out? About the energy of the audience, or there was someone in particular, some event that happened at your live concert.
There was a day that there was an individual lying on the seats, across 3 or 4 seats, spread eagle and almost unconscious. And police came to try to get him out, and he wouldn't leave. And they said, "Sir, where are you from?" He pointed up. The balcony was right above him. He fell out.
Oh, you're kidding.
I am kidding. It's a joke.
Oh. Oh my God.
But we do things like that at all events.
Okay. That's a bad concert. It's a bad experience,
Where'd you
huh?
come from, sir? Where'd you come from? Up there.
Oh my God, amazing. So, George, here you are, your radio show, Coast to Coast AM. I think it airs syndicated wise on more than 620 stations. Amazing.
640, Debbie, don't short me.
Right on. I would never. 640, let's call it like it is, and growing. US,
We were at
Canada,
four.
Mexico, Guam, and heard by nearly 3 million listeners.
And worldwide on the internet, it's all over the place. There were about 400 stations joining us when I started, and we built it up to 640.
Well, you're legendary. I want to know, are there Coast to Coast or Gaia TV backstage secrets? I know you mentioned earlier, you make it as though you're speaking one-on-one with whoever it is, not necessarily the audience. But what is the secret sauce you bring that caused these shows to go so high up, so well listened to, so respected? And thank you, by the way, for that, because you really paved the way for so many people who, for us, them, this conversation is very important. So, what is it you think that you bring? Because there is something different, obviously, that makes you very unique and makes these shows so successful.
I'm simply just myself. Nothing more, nothing less. I am who I am, and I present that, and it comes through on the radio.
Video or on television or a live stage show. And there's nothing more satisfying, Debbie, than after a live stage show, for example, or a radio show where somebody calls Tom back, crying, thanking them
For saving their life or whatever
we end up doing. I mean, it's embracing people in our meet and greets. Even during COVID, we met people and did our thing. You can't replace that.
even during COVID, you were affecting people. Yes, absolutely. That's huge. They still had radio. They still had entertainment, if you will, to connect with, to keep them going. And the fact that you hear from people who say, "You saved my life," that's got to be incredibly meaningful. And I know you've celebrated just last month, now almost 2 months ago, you celebrated your 22nd anniversary as host of Coast to Coast. You are also a seven-time best-selling author. George, do you have another book inside of you? Do you anticipate any time in the future writing another book?
No more books right now. Seven is enough, and we'll let that happen. But there are a few more little surprises down the pike.
Oh, good. I like that. I like that a lot. Surprises. And what about, is there anything after all this time that keeps you up at night? So you've been around conspiracy theories, ufology, life after death, everything curious, everything unexplained. Are there mysteries that still keep you up at night?
I continue to do this show, Debbie, because I love it. And I look for the mysteries of why we are here. How did the Big Bang occur? How did the universe start? And what are we doing? And I'm going to continue doing it until I get the answers and beyond that.
Beautiful. Well, I just want to let the audience know that there's going to be a link in the show notes in the description. So you can get your tickets to George Norrie's live events, live concerts this year. Since we're at the beginning of the year, you can get right in at any of these states and cities that he mentioned, and everything will be laid out for you in the link provided. George, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream? Future dreams and goals.
Just to keep breathing, Debbie. Keep breathing.
Thank you, George, for everything you've done for us, for this subject. We're so grateful to you. And thank you. Look forward to hearing much more about your live shows. And for folks who are interested, you can also learn more about a show and definitely listen to the program at coasttocoastam.com. George, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Debbie. It's great to see you, and thanks you for your book, Dare to Dream. Great job.
And folks, now we're going to head into part two. This is so fun that we're doing this way because we're going to be bringing Tommy D, Danhiser onto the program. So we're going to have a little switch of guests here, and I'll give you his bio. Tommy D, Danhiser. He's the man, the legend behind what you see. So, the senior producer for the nationally syndicated Coast to Coast AM radio program, Tom is a native Californian. He started out his radio and TV career as a big band DJ. And just between you and me, he still has a hand in music. He runs a music show. He went on to work at several Los Angeles radio stations, including KABC, KLOS, KSPN, and Radio Disney. And Tom joined Premiere Networks in 2002, where he produced the network radio show, The Motorized World of Leon Kaplan. Tom has produced pilots for the Sci-Fi TV Network, served as associate producer for The Susie Orman Show, and he is the co-creator and executive producer of the Gaia TV program, Beyond Belief. You can learn more about Tom at TommyD.com. entertainment.com. Let's see if Tom is here with us now. Woohoo! Welcome, Tommy D, to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you.
Debbie, can you hear me okay on this?
I hear you great. And
oh,
what I love
wonderful.
Most about you being here is that we could say and build this as Tommy D and Debbie D and just end it right there.
You can do anything you want. That's fine. I got to tell you, though, you know, I got to follow George. I don't know if I can do that, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I know. Big shoes, but still, you're the guy. And I'll tell you, so folks understand what I mean by the guy. When I have asked George for something, and I know this isn't just me, George has one response. Talk to Tommy. Talk to Tommy. Pass it by Tommy. So you're the gatekeeper. I got the gatekeeper here. So also, let's pull back the curtain, Tommy. Shed some light on what we don't get to see or hear. Your choice, du jour. It's a buffet table, either coast to coast or Gaia TV. Give us some insight.
We don't have time for all that. If I was to think of one thing, it would be me getting snotty with George.
Snotty.
And I don't do it too often, but, you know, things arise during the show. You really can't explain it, but something might not work. And so I'm separated by glass. So there's kind of a disconnect sometimes between what I'm doing and what they're expecting. And so I might, you know, when they say snotty, I just mean I might hit the button and go, hold on, or calm down, or something like that. But it's understandable because those guys, because George and our board operator are in there and they need to get this thing going. So that's, I guess, the only thing I can really think of too.
You know, I saw a picture of you at your console and another guy next to you. It wasn't too old, a picture, and it looked really nice in the studio where you sit. Is it that beautiful in the production area?
They redid the studio. Well, I guess it's been about 10 or 11 years now, but they redid the whole thing, and it's like state of the art. It's really beautiful. And so where I am is it's a booth that's connected so we can all see each other, and you know, I can yell if I want.
Cool. And so, okay, you get snotty with him from time to time, but typify your relationship with George after all this time that you guys have been working together. You're like Sherlock and Holmes, you're like Lucy and Ricky, or are you just good pros going for a good product?
Well, it's funny. I'll preface it with something. So here in Los Angeles, when I worked at KLS, there used to be a morning team, and their names were Mark and Brian.
Right. I know.
These guys were on for the, you know, like 27 years or something.
KLOS.
Right. And we worked with them. And when that show ended, they left. They didn't talk to each other.
Ah.
And I always thought that was strange. But working with George for so long, I get it because, excuse me, it's awesome, actually, because you know, we're hanging at work, we're having fun. Most of it is all fun. You know, there is a little, you know, work to it, obviously, but most of it's fun. And then when you're done for the night, you just go, you just do your own thing, and then you're back. So my relationship with George is great. It's freaking fantastic. But I can totally see, like, where Mark and Brian, going back to them, where they just left and they went and did their thing. Now, with George and I, it would be a little different because we would stay friends and we would talk all the time. Those guys, you know, you never know the inner workings of what happens. And when you work with someone for so long, you know, stuff does happen. But yeah, it's fantastic.
What about the inner workings of Susie Orman? I mean, I don't know. How was that?
That was a weird time in my life. So she used to have a radio show at our network. So when she left the network, the producer of the radio show called me and said, would you like to be one of the producers on the TV show? It's filmed in New Jersey. You can work from LA. That's fine. No problem. I'll do it. So one of my favorite things on that show was once a week, we would find somebody who was completely in debt. And you know, and Susie would look at her spending habits or his spending habits. And then they would send a limo for me, which was great. They pick me up. We pick up that person. We go to NBC right down here in Burbank, and we film a segment. And, you know, I felt I really felt bad working there because I'd have to comb through. There's so many people in debt in this country. And it's a shame because I'm not a guy that likes to owe people anything. And so I know I remember always feeling sorry for people when I would read these. And so she like tear them apart. Like I'm thinking of this one lady we did this segment on, and she was like, 50 grand in debt, but she would 3 days a week, she would stop at Starbucks and bring her six coworkers coffee. So, she'd point out, Susie would point out things like that and go, "What are you spending that money for? You can, do this." So, that was the extent of that show. But it was fun. It was fun to work on. And but like I said, I felt sorry for people.
Yeah, I'll bet. And I bet you learned a lot about money too in the
I
process.
did. I did. I did. I did. Fortunately, I'm pretty good with math. So, but I definitely don't like owing people. And so, reading these things, it's like horrible. But people get in situations, sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah, God
So.
bless Susie Orman. I mean, I can imagine. Okay, here you are, coast to coast, very popular radio show, overnight, rough hours, right? Kind of, they would be rough for me to stay up like that. And here you are, you're featuring paranormal, conspiracy theories, unexplained phenomenon. Have you, Tommy D, had any personal experiences with the paranormal, conspiracy, or unexplained phenomena?
I guess the answer is yes. We were we were in San Jose at some kind of conference, and there used to be, did George tell you the story about the guy with the bag?
No.
Okay, so we go to these different conferences, people would hire us to go, and there'd be this guy, and he was kind of mountain dressed, I guess, for a better phrase. And he had this brown bag, and he would always follow us around. We're like, who is this guy? Who's this guy? So in San Jose, he was there, and I finally just I couldn't take it anymore. So I just confronted him. I said, "Dude, you're always following us. Who are you?" The guy's name was Ed Grimsley, and he owned these night vision goggles, the ones like the Marines use. And so he would take people out on tours, for money. That's how he'd make a living. And they'd look up in the sky and they'd see things. And he explained who he was, and he said, that, let's go up to the roof and I'll show you, and you'll see these ships that are zigzagging and warring with each other, fighting. And we're like, oh, all right, we'll go. So we went up to the roof. I swear to God, man, it's exactly what he said. These goggles are so cool. And you see all this great stuff in the sky that you don't usually see. And these things were zigzagging, man. I can't tell you they're UFOs. Because I didn't see green or purple men, and I didn't see a ship that looked like a UFO, but I did see these objects that were zigzagging. I don't think they were satellites. Satellites don't move that way. So that was pretty anomalous. Other than that, I haven't really experienced too much. I'm a hard sell when it comes to that. I mean, I believe in it, but for some reason it doesn't come to me. It doesn't, people talk about how their dead relatives and people visit them and say, "I'm okay." And, I haven't had one come to me and say, "I'm fine," or "I'm doing okay." So I'm sure they are doing okay. They just haven't, for whatever reason, made it
Yeah,
over to me.
that's very typical. And it's interesting. I remember Stephen Bassett, who does all the lobbying for disclosure. I mean, the guy is very famous and very outspoken, incredibly knowledgeable, has never had a UFO experience, which I find very interesting. So what do you believe in, Tommy? Talk about that as far as paranormal, but also as far as God. Like, do you believe in the existence of God? Where does that all fall for you?
100%. I completely buy the Bible. I think that because if you look at the Bible and apply really anything there, your life will get better. It just works that way. So I believe in a universe that was created by somebody. I call him God. People, I think it's very trendy now to say source or all that stuff. And I always ask people when they say, I say, "Why don't you just call him God? I mean, you mean God, right?" But that's what they want to say. And who am I to, call him what you want. But I think everybody is kind of meaning the same thing, that there's something, some force out there that created this universe. And George talks about this all the time. If you look, things are too perfect for this not to be designed. Like, Debbie, you hit a few buttons. I'm here. I'm not near you. I'm miles away. Or you go to a gas station, you fill up your car and your car drives. Or you're hungry and you pull in a drive-in and you get some food and now you're satisfied. Everything's like in this world is designed to work. So how can it not be some sort of creator up there that's done it? I lost you. I don't have your volume.
Is
There
that
you
something
go.
you came to on your own, or was that something you were raised with, or how is this all manifested for you?
Well, I was raised Catholic, but I think somewhere along the line, I got this thought that the universe is so great and it just takes care of itself. And it does, because one way or another, the universe will solve your problem. It may not be to your liking, but it'll solve your problem. It always does. It just, that's the way it works. So I think somewhere along the line, I grew up and I just thought about this stuff and, I mean, because it's such a great world we're in. I mean, for all the bad stuff, for all the politicians, for all the people ripping you off, for all the bad people on the internet, it's still such a great world. And there's, here, I'll tell you, where was I? I was driving the other day and I looked at a tree and I thought to myself, that's a beautiful tree. And then the com thought right after I thought that, I thought to myself, I wonder how many people can just look at a tree and recognize that it's beautiful. Because everybody's moving, a million miles an hour every day, including me. Everybody has stuff to do. But do people just like recognize what's around them? So I just think it's a great time to live.
Yeah, that's actually so huge to just stop and see and appreciate nature. There's so much in nature that's amazing. I know, as somebody from New York originally, for me, palm trees, that is crazy. I didn't grow up with that. And so when I moved out here to go to USC, that was every time I walked, drove, rode my bike, I was just in awe. And I have to say, still today, especially, I have a special place, La Quinta Resort, that I love, love, love going to. And it's got every type of palm tree all across. It's a huge piece of land. And I'll just sit there and look at the palm trees, and my heart is so full. I really recognize the beauty and how indigenous it is to this place.
Don't fool yourself. That's a gift. If you can
Yeah.
do that, if you have the ability to do that, that's a gift because I am sure somewhere walking around this world are people that just are drones. They get up, they dress every day, they go to work, come home, they watch a show, whatever they do, and they do it again, blah, blah, blah. So that's a gift.
It is a gift. I love hearing you say that, and the way you couched it by saying, look, there's all this stuff going on in the world, but remember, like, keep your eyes open. There's so much beauty here. There's still so much good. I think that's really, really important right now. It's a beautiful balancing factor. And you, besides having an amazing career thus far, you've got your Kings hat on. I know
I
you love
do.
hockey games, you like to play pool. What are your secrets about living a great life?
It's funny because I joke around. Someone asked me that once, and I said, work hard, play hard, be kind to others, and plenty of AC/DC. And so that's kind of a joke I say when people ask me that. But part of it's true. Just be nice to others, have fun, work hard, play hard.
But you do like heavy metal music, right?
I like all kinds of music, but that is my favorite. But I grew up in the 80s. I mean, everybody listened to it in the 80s. So I walked the Sunset Strip. I mean, by the
Troubadour
way,
and all that.
how did you know? Yeah, how did you know that though? I never told you what kind of music
No, I know because, well,
I
you and I
like.
are friends. And one time I think you invited me to a concert, or you were going to a concert, and you mentioned the band. I'm like, oh, that's heavy metal. That's like, maybe not for me. But I was amazed. Because that's like, I imagine it draws a pretty interesting crowd. And I still picture people like slamming up against one another and all that stuff.
That's more like what is it, where they create mosh pits. That's not really the stuff I listen to is not like grunge heavy. But having said that, you ever put on a really great piece of jazz?
Oh,
Amazing. Amazing. And I've been fortunate enough through this job to make some really cool friends. The band ZZ Top?
what is it?
You know the band ZZ Top?
ZZ Top, of course.
Billy is a very good friend of mine. John Fogerty is a good friend of mine. There's a session drummer, his name's Kenny Aronoff. He's a friend of mine. So I've made some connections through this show, and I've been very lucky.
Those are great friends to have. I love that. So when they're performing, they got your back. And if you love
Gotcha.
music, that's a beautiful thing. You know,
Yeah.
I love, love, love music also myself, raised with it in my blood, first language, all of that.
We had all of them have been on the show, and I'll tell you, John Fogerty listens to the show probably 4 nights a week.
Really?
Yeah, he's more, he's not like your typical rock star. He's like a family guy, and he's a great guy. And yeah, he listens to the show.
Hey, you don't know who's out there. We don't even know who's out there right now.
You really
So,
don't, right? Mean, a lot of people, I have been told that like famous people will listen to the show, but they don't want to say, just for whatever reason. Not everybody wants to admit to, believing in ghosts or believing in paranormal experiences.
Yeah. So you are the right-hand guy. You are senior producer of the radio and TV show, but you also have TommyDEntertainment.com.
Yeah,
And
it's a.
so, right, you produce these live events showcasing great talent. Let's talk about these and the type of events that you help put on.
Well, I had an idea a couple years ago. I was thinking to myself, with the things that we do on the radio show, there's so many great people and they do such good work, but they don't have glitzy names. People don't necessarily know about them. You know the psychic James Van Prague, right? But you don't know the psychic Erica Bucerhaney, who is fantastic. So I was thinking to myself, there's so many people out there. Why don't we put together some sort of workshops and we can, introduce them to people. Now the downside is I live in LA, so it's really not cost effective to fly people out here to do a workshop. But when we can, we put them together and we do them at a little church in Burbank. And it's more fun than anything else for me, just to kind of fill my time. So that's what I kind of came up with. And then we added the live shows that we've been doing those for about 7 years now. I got, well, here, it's a story. So this guy from Toronto contacted me this was probably 9 years ago now. And he said, "Hey, let's do something live. I know this theater out here." So blah, blah, blah. We got together and we did this live show. We did it a second year and a third year. And then I thought to myself, I really don't need this guy. I can expand this myself. So I started to put these together, doing these live stage shows. They were about 3-hour shows. George was telling you a little bit about them. Do them around the country at our affiliate stations, and we bring in a band, or affiliate city, sorry. We bring in a band, and George sings songs, and we do the interviews on stage, and I add a bunch of video, and it turned out to be a really fun thing. And I direct them from backstage, and it's a whole thing. You should come to one.
I
Is what
know.
I'm
Well, I
saying.
just got an invitation from George to do backup singing, so that I must come now. I mean,
Oh,
I would
did
really
he?
love to see this.
I see. So he invited you to do backup singing.
Yeah. And I graciously accepted. Why not? How often would you get to back up George Norrie?
Didn't tell
I'll
me
be a
about it.
Noriette.
He didn't tell me
How's
about
that?
it. He didn't tell me about it. It's not built into the show.
Right.
I'm
We
kidding. I'm
have to.
kidding.
I'm surprised he didn't say pass it by Tommy first, but he
Me
didn't.
tell you a story about George that makes me laugh. And if he sees this, he's probably going to be mad at me, but who cares? So it's so funny because every once in a while my phone will ring and it's like a Saturday night. And it's George and he's someplace loud. I don't know where he is, but he's someplace loud. And I know he's with friends. And he'll go, "Hey, Get me Robert De Niro. Okay.
That's easy.
So I just reach in my pocket and get out the number. He's so funny.
Beautiful.
Makes
Well,
me.
has anybody ever freaked out at one of the live shows just to see George? And have they lost their mind seeing George on stage, or is everybody pretty much well behaved in the audience?
Everybody's well behaved, but there was one of our very first shows. There was this listener, his name was Barry. He's gone now, but he used to call the show all the time. And Barry was from Rock Hill, South Carolina. So, Tommy, I gotta tell you, right? That was Barry. Really nice guy. So he called the local station. Where were we? We were in Asheville, and he was bugging the hell out of them, and so they got him some tickets. And so he called the show and he said, "I gotta tell you, I got front row. This is gonna be great." So he's just flipping out, right? So Barry's great. So fast forward to the show, and right before the show, we peek out the curtain and we see how the house is filling up because we want to make sure it's filled before we start. So there's this guy in the front row, and man, this guy's dancing and he's moving around. And he's looking like he's having epileptic seizures and he's drunk. And are we on?
Signs and everything.
Are we on? We're going to go on terrestrial radio, right?
Oh, are you being careful of cursing?
Yeah, because I just almost dropped it. I thought to myself. So anyway, we're like, what the heck? Who is this guy? So we sent one of the security guards down and said, "You might have to throw this guy out." It was Barry.
It was
All he was
Barry.
doing, he was just having fun. He was just dancing to the music because we play music as you walk in the theater. And he was just dancing and having fun. So it's kind of a fun story. But no, people are well behaved. They get in line for the meet and greet after, which is really fun. I like talking to them, and they're pretty interesting
I
people.
was curious because I know that you have these VIP seats. So let me just go through this so folks understand, because I'm sure there's people listening who are like, okay, where do I get tickets? So this, the next one, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but the first one actually up, George Norrie Live will be Saturday, April 19th.
Correct. In Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina, maybe Barry will cross the border and come in. From
Maybe.
South to North Carolina. It's going to be 5 to 8 p.m. at the Booth Playhouse. And this is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be conversation, music. And then Tommy was just talking about special guests. It's really interesting. So the psychic therapist, Vincent Jenna, is going to be there. The dream interpreter and angelic researcher, Samantha Fay. And then near-death experiencer, Damian Brinkley. Amazing. So this is these live interviews that George is going to conduct with them. There's audience participation, the live band, which I know you pulled together, and then ta-da, the live singing by George Norrie. So also besides the seats, there are VIP seats that are available with a special package, and then also a personal phone call from Mr. George Norrie.
Yeah, we thought that'd be
What
kind of
is
fun.
that?
We
Is that
just
like
thought it
getting
would
a
be.
call from the president?
I don't know. If you ask me who I'd rather talk to, Trump or George, you give me a dilemma. But because I talk to George every day, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that would like to talk to George. Yeah, we thought it would be kind of cool if you bought like a front row seat or wherever the seats are that we have in that package. George is going to actually call you and say hi, which is kind of nice. In fact, we have done. I got to tell you, in meet and greet lines, we have had people where they'll come and they'll say hi, and they'll go, "My sister wanted to be here, but she had to stay home with the cat or whatever," and we'll have them call her right
Oh,
there live, and it's so fun because they like flip out. They go, "Really?"
I would too. Oh my God. So nice of him. So nice of you. So, folks who are listening, they're like, yep, got to secure my ticket. Got to make sure I get in before they're sold out. Where do they go to buy tickets?
The easiest way to do it is go to coasttocoastam.com. At the very top, there's a link that says events. Just click that. All our events are laid out for the year and where we're going to be. And then that will let you just click to buy tickets. And they're pretty fun, if I do say so myself. The shows are a lot of work to put together, but it's worth it because when you get there that night, there's nothing like seeing people happy and having fun and making noise.
One of those beautiful things you were talking about. So many
Yeah.
things on the planet to be grateful for. And now yours and George Norrie's live shows to look forward to.
Yeah, they're fun to do. So I would suggest anybody that wants to come, come. I've seen people in line make new friends. It's so great because, someone will, they have their camera, but no one will take their picture, and someone behind them will, I'll take it. Let me email it to you. And they become friends. And then I'll see them like the next show, I'll see them and they'll go, oh, we've been talking ever since. We've become really good friends. So, it's all about fostering family and having fun and getting people connected and stuff like that.
And so the shows where you guys will be performing live: Charlotte, North Carolina; Indianapolis, Indiana;
No.
Las Vegas,
You
Nevada; and
you've been reading my outdated website, I'll bet, and I apologize for that.
tell me. Well, tell
So
us,
I
edify
actually
us.
should get that updated before. So we're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina on April 19th. We'll be in the Dalles, Oregon, which this town, Debbie, is so cool. It's like a little Mayberry. Like they have a the street where you walk across the street, they have a clock on the thing. It's just really great. And it's about an hour and a half drive from Portland. One of the most spectacular drives you will ever do. It's trees and waterfalls, it's beautiful. So we'll be there, and then we're going to go to Everett, Washington in June. And those are the three shows we have slated. We might go to Cleveland in September. We're working on that now.
Okay, so Cleveland's a question mark, but we have Charlotte, North Carolina, we've got Oregon, and we've got Everett, Washington for sure. And folks who are interested, go to the coasttocoastam.com website and look up above at events, and voila, you can purchase your tickets. Make sure you secure them. There's nothing worse than wanting to do something and click waiting to the last minute, waiting, 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 and then you go there and everything's sold out.
It's funny. People wait.
Right.
They do. They wait till the last minute. I'm not one of those. Like I see something I want to go to, and I just do it because I know I don't care if it's at the end of the year. Then I know it's set, done. And in high school, I don't know how it was for you, but it was all about quantity for me as far as concerts and shows. Now it's about quality. I would rather go to fewer shows, have better seats, and really enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so get them while you can, folks. That's what I say.
Let them while they're hot.
Get them while
So,
they're hot.
Tommy D, what would you like to tell the listeners here at the end? What haven't we covered and what's still in your heart to share?
I think that, if we're at the end and I got to say something, you only go around once. Just have fun, be nice to people. Now, there's no reason not to be nice to people. There's really, really not. And be thankful for what you have. Let me tell you, I every day I'm thankful for something. And I don't live in Beverly Hills. I don't have a huge five-story mansion. But what I do have, I'm thankful for. And I think that people aren't thankful enough. And there's a lot of people who can't go to the refrigerator and get milk. And you see them on the streets all the time. There's a lot of people that can't, just go order a hamburger. So be thankful, be nice to people, work hard, plenty of AC/DC.
Thank you for the amazing work you do, Tommy D, in
Oh, you're
life
sweet.
and also in career. So appreciated who you are and what you offer. Tommy D, the one, the only. Thanks
You're
for
very
coming to the
sweet.
show.
Thank you for having me. You're very nice to do that.
Yeah, my pleasure. And so I end today's show with this quote: everything in life that happens to you, good or bad, is your teacher. The secret is to learn to sit at the feet of your own life and be taught by it. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger. Leave a comment. I read them all and share. In the next couple of weeks, coming up on the shows, I've got some amazing guests you're just going to love and want to subscribe, so you make sure to hear. Trinity Oracles is going to be here with 2025 psychic predictions. They promise 2025 is a crazy year in store for us. Additionally, next up, podcast with Bob Frizzell, George Haas, and Ben Stewart. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. Remember, don't just dare to dream, dare to make all your dreams a reality.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.